Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
One-party rule in Washington ends.
Democrats win the House while Republicans keep control of the Senate.
The results put President Trump's agenda in question.
U.S. futures gain following the vote as the dollar weakens and Treasury yields rise.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz has claimed victory. Two major gubernatorial races go to Republicans and a surprise in Nevada. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, the Rangers rally with a big third period at home while Brooklyn nets a convincing win in the desert.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good post-election Wednesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Karen, one-party rule in Washington is over, with the Democrats taking control of the House and reinstalling Nancy Pelosi, potentially, as House Speaker.
Today is more than about Democrats and Republicans. It's about restoring the Constitution's checks and balances to the Trump administration.
And President Trump called to congratulate Pelosi late last night as her party stands on the brink of recapturing the House.
While Democrats control of the House, Republicans maintain their majority in the Senate. The GOP unseated incumbent Democrats in Indiana and North Dakota and won hotly contested races in Tennessee and Texas. Bloomberg Deputy Managing Editor Kevin Whitelaw says the results are a partial victory for the president.
He's going to take a lot of solace in the fact that he helped deliver the Senate extra margin. He spent a lot of time in Indiana. He spent a lot of time in Florida, and he worked hard to try to get those states. He didn't get everything he wanted. This was a referendum on the president, and the president lost when it came to the key battlegrounds in the House.
There are still three Senate races up for grabs, with contests in Montana, Arizona, and Florida too close to call. In Montana, Democratic incumbent John Tester leads Republican Matt Rosendale by about 1.5%. In Arizona, Republican Martha McSally leads Democrat Kristen Sinema by a margin of roughly 1%. And in Florida, Republican Rick Scott holds a less than 0.5% lead over Democratic incumbent Senator Bill Nelson.
Still, the president is claiming victory, tweeting, quote, tremendous success tonight. Thank you all, end quote. But as Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa reports, the Democratic win in the House opens the Trump administration to a slew of investigations.
And I'm not sure that he fully recognizes how much of a difference it will be when Democrats have subpoena power, when they can call his cabinet secretaries up before Congress, put on a show and make sure voters know what's happening. He's been protected by Republican majorities from a lot of these investigations, and his administration has not been scandal-free. There have been a number of ethics issues concerning his various cabinet officials, and all of that may end up coming into the light of day if Democrats take the gavel and start a very aggressive campaign of investigations against the president.
And Democrats have pledged to investigate matters, including the president's tax returns and Russian involvement in the 2016 election.
The results of the vote all but ensure gridlock in Washington for the next 2 years.
You need both chambers of Congress to pass the same legislation to send it to the president, and then he needs to sign it. So we're going to have a divided Congress. Very little on the domestic policy front is going to get done.
Bloomberg editor Jody Schneider says some of the president's signature campaign promises are now in doubt, including his push to build a wall along the border with Mexico. With the election results in, we're seeing U.S. futures gain while the dollar weakens and Treasury yields decline. It is coming up to 5:04 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 27 points, Dow futures up 200, NASDAQ futures up 96, the DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. The CAC in Paris is up 1.4% and the FTSE 100 up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 12 32nds, yield 3.17%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, let's dig into some local results now. John Tucker joins us live on the vote in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. John.
Yeah, good morning, Nate. Let's begin with the gubernatorial races. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, with 59% of the vote, has won a third term by beating Republican rival Mark Molinaro, who had 36.8% of the vote. In Connecticut, right now, the race at Tuco close to call between Republican Bob Stefanowski and Democrat Ned Lamont in the governor's race there. As of 4:15 a.m., Lamont holds a lead of less than 3,000 votes out of the nearly 1.3 million cast. That's a margin of 0.2%. And New Jersey Democratic Senator Robert Menendez fended off a challenge from Republican Bob Hugin. He was elected to a third term. Menendez had 53.1% of the vote to Hugin's 43.8%. New York Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand with 66% of the vote has defeated Republican challenger Farley to win re-election to the Senate. Checking some House races in New York's 1st District, Republican Lee Zeldin beats Democrat Perry Gershon 52.5% to 46.4%. In the 2nd District, Long Island Republican Peter King defeats Democrat Luba Gretchen Shirley 53.3% to 46.7%. In the 11th District, Democrat Army veteran Max Rose of Staten Island defeats Republican Dan Donovan 52.8% to 46.8%. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, self-described Democrat Socialist, will represent New York's 14th District, covering Queens and part of the Bronx. In the 19th District, Democrat Antonio Delgado has unseated Republican incumbent John Faso. She had 78% of the vote. Democrat Anthony Brindisi has unseated Republican Claudia Tenney in the race for New York's 22nd Congressional District. He had 50.3%. Tenney, who has not conceded yet, at 49.7%. In the 24th District, Republican John Katko has defeated Democrat Dana Bolter 53.1% to 46.9%. In the 27th District, Republican Chris Collins, who is facing a federal indictment for securities fraud, defeats Democrat Nate McMurray, who's asking for a recount. Collins had 49.5% and McMurray's 48.4%. And Democrat Letitia James, the first woman in New York to be elected as Attorney General, the first African-American woman to be elected to statewide office, and the first black person to serve as Attorney General. And in New Jersey, Democrat Mikey Sherrill, 55.6% of the vote, the win there in that district.
All right, thank you, John. It is now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more results this morning after the election from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Let's take a closer look at the Senate. The national eyes were on several, including Republicans, notching a big victory in Missouri on their way to holding the Senate. Democratic incumbent Senator Claire McCaskill lost to Josh Hawley 51.5% to 45.5%.
The future is brighter than we all think it right now. It is. We had some good results tonight. The Democrats took the House of Representatives.
With most of the votes counted in Georgia, Republican gubernatorial candidate Brian Kemp is all but declaring victory, thanking his campaign team in Atlanta early this morning.
I built this campaign on one promise, that as governor, I would put hard-working Georgians first.
Yeah. Kemp has 50.8% to Democrat Stacey Abrams at 48.3%. Republican Mike DeWine defeated Democrat Richard Cordray in the gubernatorial election in Ohio. DeWine, Ohio's attorney general, defeated Cordray, the former head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, 50.7% to 46.4%. DeWine, talking to supporters, thanked Cordray and wished him well.
He is a talented person who I know in the future will continue to serve and continue to give back to the people of the state of Ohio.
In Florida, Republican Ron DeSantis beat Democrat Andrew Gillum for the governorship spot, 49.8% to 49%. And voters in California have elected the state's lieutenant governor, Gavin Newsom, to replace their outgoing governor, Jerry Brown. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks very much. It is now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Rangers waited until they were up against it to play their best hockey at the Garden.
Gets it back, was onside, moving in, has blocked in front, shot pulls him out of jet, he scores!
MSG on the call as the Rangers rallied, scoring three unanswered goals to beat the Canadiens 5-3. Hank Lundqvist had 31 saves for New York, who pulled back to 500 after a sluggish start. Devils were roughed up north of the border in Ottawa 7-3. Colin White and Mark Stone each had two goals for the Senators. NBA, the Nets played their most balanced game of the year in Phoenix, 104-82 over the Suns. Brooklyn scored 52 in each half. Nets coach Kenny Atkinson:
really pleased with our physicality on the defensive end.
Five players scored in double figures for the Nets. College basketball kicked off its season on Tuesday. 16th-ranked Syracuse nearly doubled up Eastern Washington, 66-34. And St. John's blasted Loyola Maryland, 76-55. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. It is now 5:10 on Wall Street. Let's get some more election results from the tri-state area, starting in New Jersey, where Democrat Mikey Sherrill, with 55.6% of the vote, ended the Republican hold on the Garden State's 11th district, replacing Rodney Frelinghuysen, the wealthy scion of a political family who'd served in the House since 1995 and is retiring. Sherrill is a former Navy helicopter pilot and federal prosecutor. He defeated State Senator Jay Weber. Independence USA, a super PAC funded by Michael Bloomberg, donated to the Democratic candidate in that race. Bloomberg is founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, parent company of Bloomberg Radio. In the hotly contested 7th district of New Jersey, Democrat Tom Malinowski defeats GOP incumbent Leonard Lance. New Jersey's 2nd congressional district had no incumbent, so Democrat Jeff Van Drew defeats Republican Seth Grossman by a wide margin to claim that seat. And in New Jersey's 3rd district, where Democrat and former White House national security official Andy Kim was challenging incumbent Republican Tom MacArthur, with 99% of ballots counted, MacArthur has a 1% lead over Kim. S&P futures up 26 points, a gain of 0.9%. Dow futures up 204, an 0.8% gain. NASDAQ futures up by 1.3%. And sports was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg Market. Global news 24 hours a day. Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar retreating, U.S. stock index futures are jumping and treasuries climbing as investors mull the fallout from the U.S. midterm elections. European stocks are rallying and Asian shares were mixed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 27 points. Dow futures up 201. NASDAQ futures up 93. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. 10-year treasury up 12/32, yield 3.17%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.91%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 72 cents to $62.93 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.8% or $9.40 to $12.35.70 an ounce. The euro $1.14.93 and the yen 113.02. And today we are watching for a report on consumer credit out at 3 o'clock Wall Street time. Two dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include Qualcomm and News Corp. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Let's take a look at some of the races that caught national attention in the Senate in Texas. Republican Ted Cruz beat Democrat Beto O'Rourke 51% to 48.2% to win another term. In Nevada, Democrat Jackie Rosen has beat incumbent Republican Senator Dean Heller 50.7% to 45.1%. In Florida, incumbent Democratic Senator Bill Nelson lost to Republican Rick Scott 50.2% to 49.8%. In the Florida gubernatorial race, Republican Ron DeSantis beat Democrat Andrew Gillum 49.8% to 49%. In Georgia, with 100% of the votes counted in that gubernatorial race, Republican Brian Kemp has 50.8% to Democrat Stacey Abrams at 48.3%. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Wizards lost. NHL, the Rangers won, the Devils lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, the morning after midterm election 2018. We are joined by Greg Valliere, Chief Global Strategist for Horizon Investments. Greg, always good to talk to you. And I think I recall in the run-up to this election, you had projected Democrats picking up somewhere in the range of 28 to 30 seats in the House and Republicans maintaining, if not extending, their majority in the Senate. Looks like the call was pretty much dead on.
Not exactly right, but I'll take it. Close enough. Good morning. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. So what does this mean going forward? Actually, first off, I want to ask you, knowing that the projections sort of fell in line here, does this make 2016 an outlier?
No, I don't think so. I think the anger in 2016, the frustration with Hillary Clinton in 2016 were substantive factors. Let me just make this what I think is the most important point for the markets. Nothing in the Trump agenda, neither his deregulation nor his tax cuts, will change. They will remain intact for two more years, and I think that's the main takeaway.
Right. The initial tax cuts remain in place, but yes. The prospect for a tax cut 2.0, something that President Trump had promised that he would at least pursue following this election, that could be quite a bit tougher to manage, no?
Absolutely. And that's one of many big stories coming out of the House race. You're going to get subpoenas, hearings, maybe talk of impeachment. But any new initiative from Trump, like a new tax bill, has virtually no chance in the House.
All right. So it's going to be a lot tougher to move fiscal policy forward. Where do you see perhaps the sides working together over the next 2 years?
Well, everyone talks about infrastructure, and of course, the big appeal is that you get to spend more money. If there's a trend in the last few years on Capitol Hill, it's spending more money. So maybe there'll be something on infrastructure, but both parties are far apart on the precise details. No, I don't think there's going to be much agreement at all. In fact, I would argue that the 2020 campaign will begin in the next few days.
Yeah, I do indeed want to ask you about the 2020 campaign. But when you talk about the prospect of more spending coming out of Washington, could that be a drag on the overall economy moving forward when you have more spending and more debt?
Well, it could put upward pressure on rates. That is a threat. But I think with Washington spending robustly, you'd have to argue that fiscal policy is going to stay very stimulative. I think there's still the impact of the tax cuts in the pipeline. So I'm in the camp that argues we still have a few strong quarters left because of all the stimulus.
All right. So the possibility of some comedy in terms of infrastructure spending. But yeah, let's look ahead to 2020, because the race, as you and I both know, is on probably starting in the next couple hours here. What are your prospects?
Well, several big themes. A great election for women. There are several women, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar. You've got a huge number of women who probably are going to run, including Elizabeth Warren. So I do think that that's a big play. But there's some other new faces. I think Sherrod Brown in Ohio is now a dominant player. I just think the party has to look for fresh blood, not Nancy Pelosi types who are in their 70s, people like Biden or Bernie Sanders. I do think the party now looks for some fresh blood.
And in terms of the party moving or looking for direction moving forward, got to ask you about some of these gubernatorial races, particularly in the context of redistricting coming up in 2020.
It's a huge story. You're absolutely right. And I think the big gubernatorial story was in the upper Midwest, where Scott Walker lost, where you see the Democrats winning in Illinois and Pennsylvania. So in an area where Trump, you could argue, essentially won the White House 2 years ago, it looks to me as if the Democrats are now stronger in the Rust Belt.
Greg Valliere, Chief Global Strategist at Horizon Investments. Thanks so much for coming on early this morning with us as we continue this extended edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, the morning after the midterm 2018 election. And taking a forward look at the markets this morning after they got what they expected out of those nationwide elections, futures contracts pointing to a higher open on Wall Street with S&P futures up 29 points. That's a gain of 0.9%. Dow futures 0.75% higher, 193 points. NASDAQ futures up 1.25% right now. That is a gain of 87 points. Price of the 10-year up 12 30 seconds, dropping the yield down to 3.17%. Two-year treasuries are at 2.91%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum Smith & Brown, audit, tax, and advisory services, helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc.
And we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. This time, the projections were right. Democrats have captured the House, or Republicans held on to the Senate. The results could dramatically alter President Trump's agenda over the next 2 years. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter reports.
There's not likely to be, for instance, a tax cuts 2.0, which is something that Trump talked about before the election. That's likely to be a non-starter with Democrats who are going to control the House. Any sort of immigration-related elements of Trump's legislative agenda, we're unlikely to see those gain much traction. That being said, Trump does have a lot of latitude to take actions unilaterally.
And there are still three Senate races up for grabs, with contests in Montana, Arizona, and Florida too close to call. In Montana, Democratic incumbent John Tester leads Republican Matt Rosendale by about 1.5%. In Arizona, Republican Martha McSally leads Democrat Kristen Sinema by a margin of roughly 1%. And in Florida, Republican Rick Scott holds a less than 0.5% lead over Democratic incumbent Senator Bill Nelson.
And now the Democrats, Karen, have secured the more than 218 seats they need to control the House. President Trump could face investigations on several fronts.
He now is going to face subpoenas. He's going to face hearings. He's going to face questions. He and his aides, his business associates, and everybody are going to have to answer the kinds of questions and provide the kinds of documents they've been able to avoid doing for the past 2 years.
Bloomberg Deputy Managing Editor Kevin Whitelaw says that could include probes into the president's tax returns and Russian interference in the 2016 election.
The results dim chances for any major fiscal initiative from the White House. That's resulting in a weaker dollar and lower Treasury yields this morning. Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
The results came in pretty much exactly where we expected overall. And I think that should be a good sign once people get a chance to kind of assess it and take a breath. No one wants to be too hasty to act after what happened 2 years ago in the presidential election, where the initial reaction proved wrong. But I think overall, this is an uncertainty premium removed from the market. It's not suddenly going to be a surge to buy risk assets. It just means in the weeks ahead, we've got a slightly better environment for investors to re-leverage again after the October pain.
Bloomberg's Mark Cudmore. S&P futures are higher, with S&P futures up 24 points, Dow futures up 179, and NASDAQ futures up about 90. The 10-year Treasury is up 12 30 seconds, the yield 3.18%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.91%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national results, and here's this is Bloomberg.
It is 5:33 now on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we're going to take a look at the results from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. First, though, let's bring in Michael Barr and find out more of what happened nationally last night. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Let's take a look at some of those races that the nation was watching. In the Senate, many eyes were watching Texas. Republican Ted Cruz held on to his seat.
To every one of you, Heidi and I and the girls, we say thank you. Thank you.
Cruz beat Democrat Beto O'Rourke 51% to 48%. In Indiana, Republican Mike Braun defeated incumbent Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly 52.9% to 43.2%. In Missouri, incumbent Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill lost to Republican John Hawley, 51.5% to 45.5%. In Florida, with 100% of the precincts in, Republican Rick Scott has 50.2% compared to incumbent Senator Democrat Bill Nelson at 49.8%. In Utah, Republican Mitt Romney, a prominent President Trump critic, won a U.S. Senate seat. Romney beat Democrat Jenny Wilson 62.4% to 31.5%. In Nevada, Republican incumbent Senator Dean Heller lost to Democrat Jackie Rosen 50.7% to 45.1%. Rosen, during her victory speech.
After all the hate that I've seen recently, that we've all seen, I can't tell you how much this means to me as a former synagogue president to stand here tonight as your next senator. Hate will never win.
Heller conceded to Rosen, and he said the Democrats had the momentum.
Now we've hit a couple of blue waves for a couple of cycles. And as a party, we're going to have to come back together and decide how we're going to go forward in the future.
Over to the House, Rashida Tlaib, the daughter of Palestinian immigrants and Somali-American Ilhan Omar, became the first Muslim women elected to the U.S. House after easily winning their contests respectively in Michigan and Minnesota. In sports, in the NBA, the Nets won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Devils lost. The sports report brought to you by Investors Bank. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:35 now on Wall Street. Let's look at the local landscape, see how the election shook out in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Bloomberg's John Tucker has those results for us live. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Nate. Let's start with the undecided. This is the governorship in Connecticut. 92% of the precincts reporting Ned Lamont, the Democrat, is leading Bob Stefanowski, the Republican, 48.1% to 47.4%. Again, still too close to call. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, 59% of the vote, has won a third term by beating Republican rival Mark Molinaro with 36.8%. Back to the Nutmeg State, Democrat Senator Chris Murphy defeats Republican Matthew Corey, 58.4% to 40%. New Jersey Democratic Senator Robert Menendez fended off a challenge from Republican Bob Eugen and was elected to a third term.
Thank you, New Jersey!
Menendez had 53.1% of the vote to Eugen's 43.8%. New York Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand with 66.6% of the vote, defeating Republican challenger Shelley Farley to win re-election to the Senate. Some House races in New York's 1st District. The Republican Lee Zeldin beating Democrat Perry Gershon 52.5% to 46.4%. 2nd District, Long Island Republican Peter King defeating Democrat Luba Gretchen Shirley 53.3% to 46.7%. In the 11th District, Democrat Army veteran Max Rose of Staten Island defeating Republican Dan Donovan 52.8% to 46.8%. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the self-described Democratic Socialist, is going to represent New York's 14th District, covering Queens and parts of the Bronx. That wasn't even close. In the 19th District, Democrat Antonio Delgado was unseated Republican incumbent John Faso. She had 78% of the vote. A Democrat Anthony Brindisi is unseated Republican Claudia Tenney in the race for New York's 22nd Congressional District. He had 53.3%. Tenney, who has not conceded yet, with 49.7% of the vote. In the 24th District, Republican John Katko has defeated Democrat Dana Bolter 53.1% to 46.9%. In the 27th District, Republican Chris Collins, who's facing a federal indictment for securities fraud, defeats Democrat Nate McMurray, who's asking for a recount. Collins had 49.5% to McMurray's 48.4%. Nathan.
John, thank you so much. Let's get more on these election results now. Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli joins us now in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Kevin, your takeaway this morning.
Well, look, I think it's a more political ammunition for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And I think that the question for Nancy Pelosi this morning is, will Democrats be investigators in chief, or will they look to have substantial policy changes on things like infrastructure? We just don't know yet. This was a big win for Democrats in the suburbs. I really had my eye in particular on two Virginia races, Virginia 10 and Virginia 7. These are suburban districts. Jennifer Wexton defeated Barbara Comstock in Northern Virginia. Those are the types of suburban voters that Democrats really need to win back. Particularly, they lost them in the 2016 presidential and several key swing states. They were able to get them back. In VA7, Abigail Spanberger beat Dave Bratt. This is suburban Richmond. He was able to defeat Eric Cantor in a Republican primary a couple of years ago in a political upset. Now he's gone. Yeah. But I also, in Florida, and I don't want to get too, you know, a list of all these races, but in Florida, in particular, Florida 26, where you had the Republican incumbent, he's a moderate Republican who lost, and that's Curbelo to Mercosul Powell. And she really arrives now onto the scene as the type of suburban Democrat, again, that I think is going to be crucial to the Democratic coalition moving forward.
And just quickly, Kevin, you mentioned three women winning there. We had a wave of women winning in this election.
We did. And that's, again, the type of, I think, from a female vote perspective is something that you wanted to see from the Democrats' perspective. Now, there were the magic number for me this morning is 30. Are we going to see 30 Democrats elected pick up and just how big that majority will be in the House of Representatives?
Yeah, the last number I saw so far, Kevin, 28 and counting. Bloomberg TV and radio chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli going to be with us throughout the morning here on this post-election edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. And taking a forward look at the markets this morning after the vote, they're pointed higher. S&P futures ahead by 26 points. That's a gain of nearly 1%. Dow futures up 197 points. That's a 0.7% rise. NASDAQ futures up 1.3%, a gain of 94 points. And Treasury prices rising, yields falling. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth, accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning as investors mull the fallout from the U.S. midterm elections. S&P futures are up 24 points, Dow futures up 181, NASDAQ futures up 86. The DAX in Germany is up 1%, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. 10-year Treasury up 12/32, yield 3.18%, the yield on the 2-year 2.91%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 69 cents to $62.91 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $9.10 to $12.35.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.86, and the yen, 113.04. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democrats have won a House majority. Democrats picked up at least two dozen House seats, capturing the 218 seats needed to break Republicans' 8-year hold on the House. Republicans retained control of the Senate. And in some of the governorship races, Democrat Andrew Gillum has conceded to the Florida governor's race. He lost to Republican former U.S. Representative Ron DeSantis, 49.8% to 49%. In Colorado, Democrat Jared Polis won the governorship, beating Walker Stapleton, 51.6% to 45%, and that makes Polis the first openly gay man to win a gubernatorial election. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios on this morning after midterm election 2018. Coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street, we are joined live now by Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller to help us break down some of these election results. And I guess, Wendy, you could say that both sides have reason to crow this morning. Democrats have retaken the House while President Trump, focused on the Senate, is tweeting this morning, tremendous success tonight. Thank you all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the Senate is a bit of a shock for the Democrats. I mean, I know they thought they might have vulnerable seats that they would lose, but, you know, to lose the table, in other words, to lose, possibly even still lose Montana, but to lose Missouri and lose North Dakota, and then to lose a very tight Florida race with an incumbent, but to lose states like Arizona, you know, that was an open seat. They thought they had a really good shot at that, and they lost it. They won Nevada, so that was sort of a good reassurance to them. But it's an interesting map. I think it just means gridlock coming forward for the next 2 years. I think the Democrats, if they pursue subpoenas and investigations, are going to go down the wrong path. I think voters don't want that. What was interesting was things like expanding Medicaid on state referendum that passed in generally conservative states, I think. So, and then the Florida decision to restore voting rights to felons is a huge decision for 2020. It will change, I think, depending how it's phased in, change the electorate for 2020. So Florida was very close, still a toss-up state in 2020. Texas was very close, indicating the governor did well, but Senator Cruz did not win by very much. So I think that this is a map that shows you what happens in 2020 more than it tells you anything else.
All right, so let's look ahead then to 2020. Are Republicans going to face difficulties holding on to their now, as it stands, expanded majority?
Well, the Senate's going to be they're a little more comfortable than they would have been because the Republicans have more seats up. But the big thing is that Trump, obviously, as everybody remembers, won Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio and Pennsylvania. And now the governorships have flipped in Michigan and Wisconsin. So given that now it'll be Democrats running there, and, of course, Illinois, which went Democratic, is now also has a Democratic governor. If Minnesota holds that result, that means that the Midwest, the Rust Belt, is a very different electoral environment for Donald Trump than it was in 2016. So that means the Democrats probably feel like they can have more traction. The fact that Georgia was as close theoretically as it was and that Florida is close puts more states in play for the Democrats if they're looking ahead. But it also gives a little bit of pause to progressives in the party, let's say, that want to nominate an African-American. They didn't win. They couldn't pull it off in Florida. They couldn't pull it off in Georgia. It might give people a little bit more pause in terms of who the ticket is for the Democrats.
Not to get too far in the weeds here, Wendy, but let's take a closer look at this Georgia race, because 100% of the precincts have reported the Republican nominee Brian Kemp is holding on to a lead here, yet many media outlets are not calling this race just yet. And I expect that's because of so much of the drama surrounding investigations into the party and that sort of thing. What do you see?
Well, I mean, I think they're probably holding, you know, the Democrats are probably deciding whether they want to sue, because he obviously, you know, tried to disenfranchise 53,000 voters by, you know, kicking them off the rolls. And there was an injunction against that, but that could have created a lot of voting confusion. And so there may, you know, still be a lawsuit about this race, and if they want, if they have a stomach for it. And I think they don't want to call it because of that, first of all, and challenge votes here and there. But Georgia's still a pretty red state, and I think it's a bit of a wake-up call to people who think that these states can be flipped in one election. I think it takes building infrastructure, and the Democrats now can do that, but it's a painful morning because they didn't get the victory that they wanted last night.
Yeah, and I guess in terms of a picture of building that sort of infrastructure, I guess you could probably take a look close to Washington in the Virginia area, where Democrats flipped three seats. What used to be a pretty solidly red state is now turning purple to perhaps a little bluer this morning.
Yeah, I mean, there are some indications some states are changing fairly dramatically in that respect and becoming less competitive for the Republicans. And I would say that Texas is starting to creep up into the category where Democrats really do have a shot at winning it with the right candidate, both, you know, in 2020 across the board, so, or 2022. So I do think there are some really bubbling changes in the demography and the political disposition of some of these states, like Arizona, for example. But that map, I mean, if you look at the map and you think about governing in America, it's very hard to govern successfully when the vast majority of the middle of the country is red and the coasts are blue. We've had this for 20 to 30 years, but it seems more pronounced. And the divisions, right? So Colorado elects its first openly gay governor. I think, you know, there's a lot of different changes in different states, and we're seeing a little bit more difference across states, I think, even if you take away the party label, than we have in the past. And it just feels as though that division is going to get more pronounced, not get any better.
And if we do see a little bit more of a purpling of the nation's midsection, what does that mean in terms of policy direction moving forward over the next 2 years and the level of rancor that we've seen in our politics over the last couple of years?
I don't think it's going to get any better. The president feels like he can claim a victory, so he'll want to claim that victory, and he'll be loud about it. And I think the Democrats are going to be forced, given how they ran and that they made him the foil, to be as pretty aggressive as they can. So it just doesn't bode well for any kind of bridging of differences. I mean, we hope that there's not any major crisis that they have to govern with. So that's the concern here, I think. And also, but look at referendum. I mean, if these Medicaid expansions hold in states like Idaho and Utah, that has huge implications for policy for the Republicans, who really can't repeal Obamacare anymore if those things hold. There's just too many states that have extended Medicaid under that law. And that's a big, big policy that the Republicans have tried to undermine that it looks like now they can't really do.
One major theme coming out of these results is the wave of women now coming into Congress. I think we're looking at perhaps more than 100 women representatives in the House now. What could that mean in terms of how Congress interacts with this president?
Well, you know, the way that his rhetoric that he uses, and it looks like, for example, I'm just looking at Utah, and it looks like Utah did expand Medicaid. So, he has some pretty awful rhetoric on women. And you've got now, I think, at least now 99 women as opposed to 84 before, and they're women from all different backgrounds, right? So that's the big sort of victory. And you have more women, we have some losses. I have to do the math. But we had women elected in Arizona for the first time, and we have a woman from Nevada. So you're going to hear more women challenging the president and how he speaks about women. And I think that's going to be a good thing for the rhetoric, personally. But in terms of policy, I'm not sure how it makes that much difference, given that the Senate is so dominated now by Republicans.
Is Nancy Pelosi looking for a fight over the gavel now? Is she in danger of losing the speakership, do you think?
I actually don't think so. I think that the margin isn't as big as the Democrats wanted, and it'll be pretty precarious. And I think if you were a smart Democratic Party in this particular moment, you don't want to put a newbie in there. You don't want to be somebody who's got to learn how to corral the party and learn how to be on the big stage and learn how to be competitive with the president. You need somebody who's very experienced, who can really go toe-to-toe and has no fear. It looks like, to me, Nancy Pelosi will do this 2 more years, and she'll probably step aside. But right now, if they had a much bigger majority, you could see where there'd be a contest. But right now, I think it's too slim a majority for them to switch gears.
30 seconds left. Any surprises from last night for you?
Actually, I was surprised how competitive, believe it or not, for the senators in the metropolitan area, Connecticut was. It still seems it's not decided, and I was a little bit surprised by that. I know Connecticut goes back and forth, but that's a bit of a warning sign. And then New England sort of maintained, in terms of the governorships, Republicans. So the idea that New England is a solid, and the New York metropolitan area is solid Democrat, I think is not quite accurate based on last night's results.
Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, thanks so much for joining us this morning after the election on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. We continue to watch futures this morning as they rise. S&P futures up 25 points. Dow futures up 185. NASDAQ futures up 84. The 10-year Treasury up 11 32nds. The yield 3.18%. The yield on the 2-year 2.91%. And the 30-year yield is at 3.39%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.